to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole in search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with a promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BVS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Good evening, everyone. This is Alexandra Venters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is a pre-recorded interview for January 10th, 2017. And I have none other than a guest I've wanted to bring on for quite some time, Santos Bonacci. And for anybody that wants to check him out while I'm talking about his bio, you can go to universaltruthschool.com. That's universaltruthschool.com, just like it sounds. And Santos Bonacci resides in Australia and is very well known for public speaking regarding controversial occult subjects. Many know of him as a street flamenco, Latin jazz guitarist, and a revered astrologer. He is the creator and a passionate initiator of teachings on astrotheology, coined as the holy science, which deals with the subject of syncretism. If you are unfamiliar with syncretism, we have a treat for you today, for sure, with Santos. While he brings together all fields of knowledge and wisdom, showing the interconnectedness of all things, he provides insight within the fields of theology, astrotheology, natural science, astrology, reclaiming dominion, breaking the fictions of religion, science, and law, and the holy sciences relayed based on the workings of the solar system and the science of as above, so below. He has successfully merged or assimilated several original discrete traditions, in particular theology and the mythology of religion, to reveal the unity of all things. Santos has been researching occult matters for over 30 years. His sources include Timothy Freke and Peter Gandy, who authored many books on Jesus's missing years. And through his research, Bonacci uncovered many truths that were not in line with the church and caused him to come into conflict with the authorities. He also will be bringing to light bearing the occult knowledge of the ancient wisdom of the morning star Lucifer. He failed to answer bail requests, and it added up to about 500 infringement notices and requests to pay fees. Santos stuck to his guns And he actually made it onto the police's being searched for list, and still to this day has really stood strong against not wanting to participate within their system. He's a real advocate for ignoring their system to break free from their bindings. You can once again check him out at universaltruthschool.com. And don't forget that he is a guitarist and a musician. He has 3 CDs, Angelica, Amazing Days, and Moliendo Cafe. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. And this is a little bit different because he's going to be doing a presentation today. So I'm not going to be saying a whole lot. I'm just going to be listening alongside with you. And he is very anxious to get this information out to simplify the understanding of how energy works within the universe. So I think this is very helpful for all of us. Stay tuned, and we'll talk to you in a few minutes. Okay, everyone, I have Santos Bonacci with me. I'm excited about this. I've been following his work for a good 5 years, and I am honored to bring someone who's brought so much enlightenment and brought so much of a compilation of all the things that are so rich in material that have brought us to the awareness that we are here today, and actually connecting the dots, really following the cookie crumbs of what led to what. I can't imagine one person out there not gaining some additional insights into their enlightenment and their future spiritual growth with what he's about to share with us. So, Santos, go ahead and take it away. I don't know where you want to dive into first. I think the very first thing for anybody who's new to your work is, can you just give everyone a little bit of a snippet of how you got started in this?
Yeah, thanks, Alexandra. I really appreciate you having me on. And today I've set up a whiteboard because I think it will help us with a lot of the terminology and the science that I'm going to present. How did I get into this? I guess I've been inclined toward understanding things all my life. As when I grew up, I was brought up as a Jehovah's Witness. So as a little boy, I can remember studying all those scary books about Revelation and Ezekiel and Daniel. And so in my teen years, I rebelled and did the wild thing. And then in my late teens, I was running a restaurant and very wild at the time, as teenagers are. And I decided I wanted to serve and worship the Creator. Just everything changed, you know. I had enough of, you know, the fast cars and the entheogens, I guess. I did a couple of decades with the Jehovah's Witnesses, very, very zealous. And that started in 82 when I was baptized. In 82, I met a sister, a Jehovah's Witness, who said to me, Santos, you need to go to the library and read a book that I've read. It's called Secrets of the Lost Races by Reen Norbergen. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. And so I did, and that was it. Of course, at the same time, I was reading a book which I have here. Hang on, I'll just grab that.
Okay. And the birds are chiming in too.
Oh, yeah, you can probably see my birds.
They're so awesome. Well, I don't want you to move your computer.
Hey?
I was going to say, don't move your computer. It took us forever to get it where it is.
No, I know. Don't worry. At the same time, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. Now, this is my version. As you can see, I studied this book. You know, I didn't. I wasn't mucking around. You know, you can see that it's all.
Wow! Whoa!
This is 1982. I was a young, fresh Jehovah's Witness, starting again to serve Jehovah. And I was reading books like, this is Astrotheology on steroids, only Alexander Hislop really was a literalist. He didn't understand the mythological content of what theology is. It's transcendent. It's not mundane. So he was a mundaner, a literalist, what I would call a literalist. Okay, these are the people who are waiting for Jesus to come. Or he came historically. He was real. He's coming, but he's never with you. He's never in the present. But he came, and he's coming, so wait. So these are people who are waiting for something factual, historical, literal, like children who wait with their cameras for Santa Claus to come down the chimney. That's unfortunately the sort of scholarship we have had, because scholarship has mainly been controlled by the Jesuits, who have created the inverted teaching and spread it throughout the earth that the mythologies were historical. Mm-hmm. and so what they do, this is reductionism. You reduce everything down to the literal, and the letter of the word killeth, but the spirit of the word vivifies. So basically, that's the difference. But the point is, I studied that and I was away since 82, and I've been reading astrological works in secret, of course. You can't do this as a Jehovah's Witness and be reading. In fact, I got this from the Jehovah's Witnesses anyway, so, but because it just basically validates their historical Jesus that they're waiting for, which is a lie. And that's the only reason why I would have got that from them, because they don't like you uncovering and turning over all the stones and finding precious esoteric occult truth. Mm-hmm. And that occult truth happens to tell the same story in every culture, in every language, and in every holy book. There's only one story. I'm going to show you that story. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to benefit from the, 50 years. I'm 53 now, turning 54 in March. 50 years of syncretism, astrotheology, and being observant. I don't claim any great intelligence or anything exceptional at all, except for one thing, that I pay attention. And I paid attention, as you'll see. So what we're going to do today is rather than be highfalutin and show all our cleverness and how clever things are, we're going to make things really, really simple.
Right.
Yes, so simple that everyone will understand, but at the same time complex. Simplex, complex, simple, and a little bit more complicated than we can elaborate on the simple things. But the point is, we're going to understand nature. Nat, tan. These are atomic words. What I'm going to introduce you to is atomic language, okay? Etymology.
My favorite. Another reason I've been following your work. I'm really big in the etymology.
Etymology is nothing but...
Oh, my gosh.
If I had started this a lot neater, you would have had... is nothing but atomology. All is atom. Your body is an anatomy. Everything is atum. Your body's in the shape of a T. It's a tomb. It's tom. All is atum. Okay. The Egyptians said all is atum. Over in the East, they said all is om. Mm-hmm. Om. So what we're going to do is we're going to learn forever. And you will never look back. You'll never go to quantum quackery or general or special relativity. You'll never go to these buffoons like, say, Niels Bohr and Richard Feynman and Albert Einstein. These guys were working for the Jesuits. They were liars. Newton, Galileo Galilei, Copernicus. These were all Jesuit-funded liars. The Jesuits, we're going to put a bit of this history in here also to show you how the Jesuits have stolen this history from us, called it devil worship and pseudoscience, and given us the religion of scientism, which is pseudoscience. And all the world bows down to the false idols of scientism. I'm going to smash them today, simply, peacefully, and people will never look back. If this video goes viral, it'll be a blessing for mankind. It'll be a blessing for Muslims, Christians, Jews, because it's all one science. Okay, so let's start with the simple things, shall we, sister? Here we go.
I'm ready.
Okay, what we're going to learn about is what God is. We know God is the source creator. We're talking about the source creator. God is a really difficult word to sort of talk about. I love the word God because you've got, it's like a title. It's a name, but it's I'm trying to remember the word anagram. What's the acronym? Okay. Generation, operation, and dissolution. Everything is born, does some stuff in the middle, gets old and dies. Okay? This is the God of the material word. All is atom. Matter, motion, motor. Everything that moves is magnetic. Mag, in Sanskrit, means to move. This is the power of force and motion in the universe. This is God's force. This is God's source.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to be standing up, I think. Camera's going to be missing me head, but that's okay.
Missing me head. I love that.
We don't need that. I've just got to get out of the way. Okay. So I've got to be back here. All right. So this is the God of electricity. This is El God. This is not the Lord, the lard, the oil, the Christos.
Wow.
Yeah. This is this God of illusion. You see, this is intelligent consciousness. There is no... there's no unconsciousness in the universe. All it's all conscious, and it's one source, and we call that in the West Christ. Okay? We call it Krishna in the East. Krishto. The word crash, which is chaos, another way of saying chaos, because there's order and chaos, basically. And
Ah, okay.
So usually what you see is a black and white yin and yang, don't you? That's the most common one, okay? And then there's another one, and it's the...
very popular.
Blue.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to show you is that this is source light, dielectricity, black. That's what they call black holes, dark matter, dark energy, because they're pointing in the right direction, so they need a pat on the back, but no cigar. And I'm going to show you how the quantum physicists also need a pat on the back, but no cigar. Okay, so we're going to simply, really, really simply correct all the falsity and all the errors very, very simply by including this little fella here. By including that, we are going to correct all the material confusion in the world that people do not understand electromagnetism, this vibratory yin and yang, which is hot, cold, red pill, red shift, blue shift. Pay attention to red shift, blue shift. That's going to turn up a lot in this presentation. Red blood, red siren, blue siren. Look, the list goes on. Roses are red, violets are blue.
And, of course, the red, white, and blue flag, stars, and stripes for
us. This is red, white, and blue. So you've got fire, the four elements, fire, air, earth, and water. Pay attention to those four elements, okay? So here we've got two elements. People would naturally assume that that's fire and water, masculine and feminine. Correct.
Correct.
It's also the other way around, okay? Sky and earth. Adam, Adama, Hebrew for earth, Adama and Adam both mean red. That's the element of earth. This is the element of air. So when people get confused and they say, oh, the little boys shouldn't be wearing blue, little babies, and the girls pink. Pink is for fire. That should be a boy's color. And blue should be girls for water, marine, maritime, Mary, feminine. Air, sky, the sky, Krishna is either black or blue. Why? Okay, well, we're gonna find out the real reasons today. It has to do with redshift, blue shift, and magnetism. We're going to understand magnetism and nature simply because it is simple. And I want to take my hat off to a gentleman called Ken Wheeler, who is the greatest, I call him, magnetrician that we've been blessed with on planet Earth. Planet Earth. We'll get to that too. Ken Wheeler has a YouTube channel called... Theoria Apotheosis. And I strongly recommend to watch everything he's ever done once, twice, three times, four times, five times, infinitely, over and over and over, over and over. And you will get familiar with the three field modalities.
Glad you brought up gravity, because there's so much controversy about it, especially with the flat earthers.
We're going to understand gravity. It's, to me, it's like a shadow. And you can't reify a shadow because it's an absence. It's a privation. Mm. And so really what scientists are doing is they're pointing in the right direction. They're calling it gravity, which is cool, because grave is the opposite of lev, levity, gravity. So if something is more dense in the medium in which it is, it will show its density by being grave, gravity. Mm. But essentially, what gravity really is, and thank you, Ken Wheeler, it is dielectric acceleration. There are only, it's not a force, it's an acceleration, okay? Gravity, let's call it gravity so people know what we're talking about, is not a force. Never call it a force. It's an acceleration. There are two co-eternal, coexistent, conjugate principles in the universe, and they are these two. Dielectric is inertia and acceleration. Hmm. Magnetism is force and motion. Motion. Remember, mag in Sanskrit means to move. Everything is moving in torus fields. Everything is moving in torus fields, which, by the way, I put the word nut there, right? We're going to crack the nut. The nut is the torus field. Tor, for, thunder. Turning, mag, move, movement, motion.
So what I'm even thinking about magma, you know, from the center of the earth. You heard that right.
Magnitude.
See, magma.
What you're going to learn is that magnetism is magnitude, which creates the illusion of time and space, which are measures. Again, they're like shadows. They're like gravity. They are not autonomous field modalities. They are not autonomous principles. They are attributes. They're attributes. So you can't reify those attributes, a privation.
Do you agree that magnetism is dropping on the planet?
No, it's breathing. It's changing. It goes up and down. We have to understand the breaths. You see, people panic. Oh, it's getting hot now. It's getting too hot. Well, right now, just wait a few years. It'll correct itself. Everything is correcting itself. In nature,
all is atum,
and you're going to understand what atum is. Atum is light. Light is a coaxial circuit, and light is energy. Today, what we're going to learn is what energy is, and about the green light.
Oh my God!
Which is the first, pretty much the middle. The heart chakra is green. The earth is green. Laser light, which is coherent light, is a special healing color. And so this green vibration, photosynthesis, chlorophyll, and all of the related topics, this is the energy which is coming to us from this pulse. So what you're going to learn today is simply how energy works, like never before. And again, thank you to people who, like Ken Wheeler, and the people who is standing on the shoulders that he stands, and some of those guys are the guys that I acknowledge very much. For instance,
Timothy Frank, right?
No. Well,
I have that book.
Walter Russell, Tesla,
yes,
Steinmetz, Heaviside, Eric Dollard. Please check out the work of Eric Dollard. Faraday, Maxwell, and all the true scientists that have given us everything technologically that we have. All of those guys. And check out Pier Luigi Ghina from Italy. He died about 20 years ago. He worked with Marconi for 10 years, then went off to study the sun for 30 years. And he said there's a pulse coming from the sun.
Yes.
It's pulsing and it's a heartbeat. It's the same as our heartbeat. Dom, dom. Dom, dom. Everything is a dom. You listen to your heartbeat when you meditate. Dum dum. Everything, all is atum. Okay, so we'll learn that. But this pulse is the longitudinal wave. Okay, and it's a wave in which compression and rarefaction is occurring. Now, this is where scientists get confused. This is the dielectric pulse horizontal wave, the scalar wave of Tesla,
okay,
the expanding wave of Schallberger. This is a pulse, compression and rarefaction, instantaneous action at a distance. The child of this pulse is a divergent wave, spiral wave of amplitude, and it's red and blue, or the rainbow. The rainbow, look at the rainbow, it's redshift, blue shift. Clearly, red at one end and blue, purpley at the other end. Okay, so that's the seven colors of the Elohim, or the Cosmocrators, or the Demiurge. It's not the source creator, dielectricity. It's not black light. It's the product of white light, magnetism, divergent white, incoherent light, producing an electromagnetic effect. Electricity, as Ken Wheeler says, is a hybrid. It's a temporal force, conditioned, red and blue, red blood, red earth, matter, materia prima, prime matter. So this is where matter comes from. In the East, they say Krishna has an internal force, a marginal force, and a material force, energy. Okay? This is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Father, the Mother, more correctly.
Okay.
And the Son, Emmanuel, electricity, Jesus. Jesus is in reference to electricity because it is the Word made flesh. It is sound, sonoluminescence, producing matter by vibration, transverse vibration. Longitudinal, that is the spiritual pulse of the universe. Magnetism is that, together with dielectricity. But when the marginal energy of the universe combines and creates the wave form, this is the wave, this is the pulse. There is no wave particle universe. It does not exist. It's a wave pulse. See, the pulse is what you're going to be essentially introduced to today, which is the hidden free energy, God consciousness, unconditioned, unlimited, unqualified, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent of the universe. Okay, so this is the longitudinal energy. It's instant, and here we have the speed of light at 186,000 miles an hour. For instance, it's not a speed; it's a rate of induction, as Ken Wheeler says. Depending on which medium, if it goes through glass, well, it decreases its energy by speed, rate of induction by 18%. Glass, more or less around 18%, reduces the speed of light. So it's a rate of induction, but we're talking about the electromagnetic, conditioned, mundane light. This is mundane light. This is divine light.
Wow.
This is lumen. This is lux. This is spiritual. This is physical. Baal, the false god.
Right.
Baal. Chapel, you know. These are Tibetan bells. They are made of seven elements, the seven planets in the solar system. There you can see the symbols of the seven planets. Gold, this is made of gold, silver, lead, iron, copper, quicksilver, and silver for the moon. Gold for the sun, lead for Saturn. And this is how you make an Elohim, an El, a bell. This is why they ding dong.
Wow.
Ding. All is a din. All is a don. So your bell, the sound, God is sound. God is light. Sound and light are one and the same.
Right.
Depending on the frequency, because our senses are limited. So they go in and out of each other. They are sound, they are light, they are sound, but it's sound and light. Adum is the sound of energy first manifesting. Atum, tu, tu, du, du. T and D are interchangeable. Tu, du, do, du, do. And M and N are interchangeable. They are liquids. Mm. C sustainable sound. T is not sustainable. Mm-hmm. You cannot sustain a T or a D. Hence, atom means a percussive, explosive, thunderous sound. It might be minuscule, minute. It might be cosmic. But it's nonetheless, that is atom. And then atom.
So that lasts longer.
Om, adom, all is om. In the East, all is om. So.
Wow.
It's starting to rain here. Can you still hear me? You can hear the rain, can't you?
Sure.
Oh. I better turn your volume up if you're going to be talking to me. Okay. So so what we're going to do is understand this one field. It's the ether. This is what they're now calling quantum goo. Quantum fluid.
Okay.
Okay. So this is what they're calling quantum fluid. I think I'm yelling. I better... Mike, can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you really well, so don't worry about it.
So, but this is the field. This is the counter-spatial. This is counter-space. This is intradimensional. So, intradimensional, dimensional, our mother who art in heaven, magnetism. This is one. This is the power of two. One, two. See the S in the middle?
Yes.
The S is the 19th letter of the alphabet. 1 plus 9 is 10, reduced to 1. This represents the 1, the sine wave, the sin of Eve. And we're going to learn what eating the apple, material electrical Maya, why eating the apple is the sin of Eve, because it's the sine wave. Remember, it's this wave of the universe. In the wave is the illusion. Why? Well, because the longitudinal pulse is instantaneous action at a distance. If you get a rope, if this is a rope, can you see that clearly?
Yes.
Because there's so much light, I can't see.
I can see it. There you go.
Okay, so if that's a rope and I tug at that rope and there's a guy over here and I'm over here tugging at this rope, the moment I tug at that rope, when does he get the signal that I've tugged on that rope?
Pretty much, well, instantaneously.
Instantaneous. That's instantaneous action at a distance. That's the magnetic dielectric light of the universe. This is the true transcendental, counterspatial energy of the universe. It's free, it's God, it's conscious. It's living, it is life, okay? Now, if I decide to flick that rope and put a wave in that rope, whether it's one or whether it's two, or whether it's more than that, I think I've made a boo-boo there for not concentrating. but nonetheless, you get the point. If I did that and put a wave through that pulse, mm-hmm. now you've got...
So now it's not instantaneous.
No, and you've got what's called electromagnetic retardation or it's a lag, okay? So it's like light going through a different medium. Through the air, yes, 186,000 miles. Per second, right? So, but through glass, it's way more reduced. But see, then when it goes through the glass, it picks up speed. It accelerates naturally and to its speed through the medium of light. This proves it's a rate of induction. It doesn't travel. There's no particles that travel because there ain't no particles.
Wow.
This is the point of today. What we're going to understand today is that we're going to discover the wave pulse universe and energy and light of the universe. And we're going to get out of the quantum. They're looking for quantities, quanta, particles. You see, since Newton and the Jesuits that funded him, they've materialized. They've created the religion of materialism. Their God is the God of L, the power grid. They own the power grid. They don't want us to have Tesla-free energy, which is magnetodielectricity magnetodielectricity. Most of these, when I talk about this, I'm mostly quoting from Ken Wheeler. If you don't study Ken Wheeler, stop all things and go to his channel and spend days, weeks, months and contribute to his work. He's got a free book called Uncovering the Missing Secrets of Magnetism. I think he's up to fourth edition. And I've read it. I've watched all of his stuff. I'm his number one fan. I post him everything that comes out immediately on my Facebook page so that people can get up to speed with this. All I'm doing is adding the theology to it because God, energy, it's all energy, okay? And we need to understand energy. Once we understand energy, it'll be goodbye to all those corporate energy companies that are selling us something that we don't need, raping the planet Earth in the meantime and creating havoc, okay? So what we've got now is the sine wave, the sin of Eve. You see, and here is the dielectric pulse. So there's a pulse in here, and this is, if you're looking at the ecliptic of the sun, this will be the Tropic of Cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
And this will be the Tropic of Capricorn, and this is the equator. So what you have and what you're going to learn today is how to model the Taurus field and how to model energy. Okay, we need to – can you see all this from here?
Yeah.
See, most of your scientists, they'll say, oh, this is an electromagnetic field. Brilliant. Well, what about the pulse here? Oh, no, it's a particle. We think it's – see, Einstein said, oh, you can't explain the universe with the particle and you can't explain it with the wave. But together you can, and yet we still can't. So basically they were looking at the pulse and taking it to be a particle. It's not. It's a spiritual universe manifesting like this in polarity, the two feminine signs, Capricorn and Cancer, balanced by the masculine signs, Aries and Libra. So what I'm going to show you now is that energy is not just positive and negative, summer, winter, day, night. It is also 12 things.
And oh, my God, the 12 signs of the zodiac.
Yeah, unless we understand energy in a 12-ness, we will never understand energy, period, okay? So we've got Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Virgo, Leo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, okay? And what you've got here is you've got the four elements, the four conditions along every wave of the Taurus field because, you see, this is the yin and yang. And it goes forever. It's the double helix. Helix is the sun. Okay, pulse, pulse, pulse perturbation of the field. What is the field? The quantum fluid, field, fluid, same word, ether, dielectric field.
And, of course, this also represents the DNA.
Yeah, because it's a double helix. What is going that way is also going this way. So Aries is here now. Aries, Taurus, Gemini. Look at this. Adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine, the DNA. This is the double helix. This is the microcosm or the macrocosm. If you take this to be the ecliptic of the sun, which it is because I've drawn in the Tropic of Cancer. So this will be the equinox of Aries, March 21st, the equinox of summer equinox of a solstice of June 21st, the September 23rd equinox, autumnal, and the winter solstice, 21st of December. Interesting that the tomb of winter, the 21st of December, the solstice, has a nickname called St. Thomas Day. Tom.
Oh, my.
The day of St. Thomas. Because why? Because Tom means twin. Red and blue. Adam was red. Eve was blue. Cain and Abel. Cain was red. Abel was blue. Isaac, Jacob and Esau. Esau was red. He came out red. Jacob was blue. Moses and Aaron. Moses was red. Turned the red sea into blood and everything was red. He had a red beard. He was. They all painted him red. Okay. Jesus with white, blue eyes and red, blue eyes and red hair. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
It's always red and blue.
Yeah, you're right. Wow.
Okay. Because electricity, is red and blue. And that's where red blood and blue blood, red shift, blue shift, red pill, blue pill comes in, because it's the vibrations. Everyone's stuck in the vibration, noise. Whereas sound or music is on the pulse. Compression, rarefaction. Compression, rarefaction. So you've got contraction, expansion, but it's instantaneous. This is why scientists cannot explain instantaneous action at a distance. Why? Because then they will reveal the true force and source. So I have it as force, black, white light is force. I have it as black light is source. Because they are not even, well, we say they're not light, they're shades, but they are light. And this is the nature of the Godhead. This is Krishna, black, and Radharani, white or gold. Radha means radiate. Radiation is magnetism. Okay, so if we've got, look at all of these trinities. Let's have a look at the trinities.
And also that's like the heartbeat too, right? What you just showed represents the beat of the heart as well.
Well, it is. It's a pulse, you see. But the materialists, they want a particle. They want a particle world with particle colliders and CERN, and they want to make matter, and they've got no idea that they need to go to the source. Now, you have a look at all the trinities in existence. The Jesuit one is a good one, IHS. In Greek, that's an E, but which gives you yes, Jesus, the fire of the creator, Jesus. But here we have Isis, Horus, and Set. Mm-hmm. Isis, the moon, Horus, the sun, Set, Saturn. Pay attention. Moon, sun, Saturn. You're going to find out that this is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In every solar system, it works like this, okay? Israel. Krishna. Radha, Bel, Rama, Bella, Bel, Ram. See the right Ram? That's that Ram Aries, mm-hmm. which is at the center of every Taurus field. In the center of every Taurus field is Aries, the Lamb. So all energy in sacred scriptures is either called a lamb or a bull. Krishna is the good cow herd. Christ is the good shepherd. Aries, Taurus. So let's have a look at this, shall we? I know I'm jumping, but hey, I'm going to pack a lot of information in this presentation. There's the sine wave, the sin of Eve. And there's the man, Adam. That's Adam Kadmon. And you see Aries is in the cerebrum, and Taurus is the cerebellum, the cerebellum. So when you ramble on, that's because your feet are rambling, because the head signs, the two horn signs of the logarithmic shape of the spiral and the golden phi section ratio of energy. You see, all of this is not just two-dimensional. It's not a spiral. It's a helix. A helix has three dimensions.
Okay.
So what you've got is energy goes like that. Let's talk about that in a minute, how simple energy is. So what you've got is Israel in the east, dielectricity, radiation, magnetism, and electricity, the hybrid child of Osiris and Isis. She's always holding a little baby, electricity, red and blue, red blood, in her arms, because she's the creator of that child. But that child is temporal, conditioned Maya world. It's real, but it's temporal. Do we want to buy into a temporal world, or do we want to buy a stairway to heaven and buy some gold in the book of Revelation, which will enable us to transmute our lead into gold and get back to head heaved up heaven? Heal hell. Red shift, red chakra. Blue shift, blue chakra, going up to the violet and the ultraviolet, heaven, head, where Aries, the Lamb of God, is standing upon Mount Zion. Why does Revelation chapter 14 say, and look, I saw the Lamb of God standing upon Mount Zion. That's the spine, and the spinal cord with 144,000. Well, when you learn to add up all the petals of the redshift, blueshift chakras, 4 petals, 6 petals, 10, 12, 12, Jesus and the 12 disciples in the heart, 16 and 96, that's 144. And the top chakra, the violet, that's the 1,000-petal lotus, Taurus, of the Sahasrara chakra. So when you multiply 1,000 by 144, you get the Lamb of God, Aries, the cerebrum, standing upon Mount Zion, the spinal column.
Oh, my God.
On top of the 33rd bone of the vertebrae, which is called Atlas. Atlas is doing this to my head. That top bone of my spinal column is called Atlas. Okay, there it is up there at the top of the pons. Pons means bridge to head, heaven. Head, heaven, Aries, the Lamb of God. So when you see the Lamb of God standing upon Mount Zion with all the people are all singing songs, you know, when the saints go, oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. So they want to be in that number, but they don't understand that they have to burst all their chakras and open the seven seals of Revelation, and only the Lamb and the Lion, the Lamb and the Lion, could open, were worthy to open the seals, the seven seals. Yes, because you have to open the heart chakra, the Lion, then you have to climb up to head, heaven, head, to the higher consciousness where the Lamb of God is, and then the Lamb and the Lion will lie together. Both of these are fire signs, okay? Aries is fire, Leo is fire, head, heart, on the top of the sign way. So what we're getting is basically we're understanding this is a Taurus field, and a Taurus field is properly named thusly. Reciprocating processional hyperboloid Taurus. Okay, thank you, Ken Wheeler. Now,
you're gonna explain that, I hope.
I'm gonna do that right now. Don't worry, because I'm gonna go back over some of these things, all right? So, and what I'm gonna do is announced today that I'm going to be, I've got coming to possession of this whiteboard, and I'm going to be doing a weekly school on my YouTube channel doing just this, okay? Simplifying nature.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's terrific, Santos. Because, you know, I mean, we're getting deluged with so much of this information, and a lot of us will avoid it because it can get so scientific that we just don't think we have the capacity to wrap our brains around it. But you really do a great job simplifying. The other thing is the language itself, how much brilliance and connection there is behind the words.
Yes. Yes.
Fascinating.
It's all about words. It's all about etymology. What you're going to learn today is the science of etymology. Atom. All is atom. You will understand forever now. And if you go back and watch my presentations that I released a couple of years back on Atom, I did 2, and I did a lot of radio shows. They're out there, you know, just on Atom and all the atomic words. It's beautiful. So let's have a look at this first before I do this reciprocating processional hyperboloid Taurus field. That's how we call a Taurus field correctly, okay, according to Ken Wheeler.
Can't see it.
All right, well, I'll get to that in a minute. I just wanted to explain something about gravity, because I mentioned this before and I want to clarify. This is like a shadow, okay? It's the shadow of this. Dielectric acceleration, dielectric voidance. That's the acceleration. That's gravity. That's the true God. We should be discovering the true God, source God, not the Elohim, the Bell, the vibration God. He is the demiurge. He is Jehovah. He is Shiva, Brahma, Vishnu, all the named gods. The unnamed gods, that's the source, because he has no name. But we call it Krishna or Christ, Allah. We still give it a name because according to, say, Bhagavad Gita, the name of Krishna and his excellent personal, supreme personality of Godhead are one and the same thing. The sound, the name, it's all the same thing.
Mm.
And I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you how Atum or Krish or any of those God words, how they actually produce torus fields, okay, through vibration. So gravity is essentially, it is incoherent dielectric acceleration, or incoherent. It's not coherent. This is coherent. Or, well, let's call it the difference between coherent light and incoherent light. Well, this white light that you see surrounding me from the light in my ceiling, this is incoherent white light. So all the seven colors of the rainbow are in it. When you get a laser light now, what you're doing is now all the little gyroscopic atoms, they're all gyroscopes, all atoms go like this. They have like a flywheel accretion disk plane, which is the plane of inertia. Then the torus field energy diverges centrifugally and then converges centripetally back at the point, this locus here, which is nowhere and everywhere. And so this now creates what we've got. We've got the reciprocating. Reciprocating simply means that those lines, or the force, is reciprocating with the inertia. The dielectric inertia and acceleration is reciprocating and conjugating and field pressure mediating instantaneously in both directions. And the precessional, what does that mean? Well,
it's in some sort of loop, like time loop, possibly.
No, precession, when you have a top and you spin a top and you see that it starts to precess backwards. It's the top is spinning clockwise, but it starts getting slower and slower. Then it starts doing that, wobbling. That's precessing. It's actually precessing. It's going the other direction from the wheel. Sometimes you see bicycle wheels. The guy's riding by in his bicycle wheel that way, and you see the wheels going backwards slowly. That's precessing. Mm. Okay, so these torus fields, they don't only reciprocate continuously. They are precessing. So they're turning around this way. Okay, precession is an inbuilt mechanism of our gyroscopic atomic world. This is atom.
Oh, wow.
That's the pulse, and that's the wave, the spiral, the helix, the double helix. We'll see how that double helix works in a minute. But basically what you do, how to model energy is easy. Aries is always here. Aries, Taurus, there's, how about that, Taurus, eh? Interesting.
Yeah. Because it's like a toroidal field, ultimately, right? Okay.
This is why. And everything is the lamb. I've done entire presentations on the lamb. All is the lamb, all is Atum. It's all the lamb. The lamb is the lamp. Revelation 21. And the light of God did not need to shine in the new city of Jerusalem, for the lamb is its lamp. Electricity, light. God is light. A coaxial circuit. So, hyperboloid, well, there's the hourglass. Can you see the hourglass in there?
Yes.
Problem with this was, let's do a better one.
Hmm.
And these, by the way, are the golden eggs of all your nursery rhymes. Your golden eggs, Jack climbs up the beanstalk, the spinal column, to get the golden eggs at the top. It's all about torus fields. Your body is a torus field. It's everything is a reciprocating precessional hyperboloid torus field. That's the torus field, the magnetism, and the hourglass in the middle, that is the inverted sphere of the magnet. Okay, of the magnitude of the magnetic force and motion. So what's happening is here is a plane, and this is the way our Earth is. This is our solar system. I'm going to show you, in fact, the solar system, and then we're going to put it in here. This is our solar system. This is one universe. The universe is one big, massive torus field. Everything is torus fields. Okay, so it's not a whole bunch of little torus fields mixed with different size torus fields making up the whole universe. A universe is one torus field. This is Brahma's, the demiurgos's creation. Because Krishna does not create. He stays in the counterspatial world. He never mixes in the red and blue. He doesn't need to. Krishna does nothing. Radharani does everything. Magnetism does all the work. This is the force. This is the source. This is the mundane force, red and blue. This is the spiritual, transcendental force. Okay? So, nature does not know how to draw a line like this. Why all of a sudden? Nature does not know how to draw a line like that. Thank you, Ken Wheeler. Nature can only draw a line like this, a point line, and a point line goes like this.
Mm. Okay.
So.
So it's like procession in a way, right?
Sorry?
It's like procession because it's pushing out.
What you've got, if you study Walter Russell, you've got a vortex going this way, a vortex going that way. So for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And so you've got instantaneously, that's what energy does. It can't just do one of these. It has to do two of these. These are spirals. These are torus fields. It's this. It's the same thing.
Okay.
So, but you see, there are no straight lines in the universe, in creation. Nature can only draw curved linear lines. Okay, so that, in fact, you must see it. Now, let me do it with my hands as Ken Wheeler does. So if I go like this, this is how nature draws lines, but they're not straight. Lines are curved. So you've got this. So it's not just that on flat land, it's not two-dimensional, and this is still only two-dimensional, by the way. So can you see my yin and yang here happening here?
Yes.
Okay, but not only do we do that, we have to do this too. So we can't just go like this. We have to go like this. And so when that happens, you're doing the figure eight, are you not? The lemniscate, the ouroboros, the torus fields.
The infinity.
Reciprocating precessional hyperboloid torus fields. So, So what we now need to understand is that this here, that's Aries. Simple. This here is Taurus, that's Gemini, that's the Tropic of Cancer. This is how Taurus fields work. They go to their tropics. They go to their wave expansion, wave amplitude, to the red and then to the blue. Goes that way, woof, and then gets divergently flung around centrifugally the other way in the opposite direction. And then it comes back in centripetally. So if we were to do this and do the wave that I showed you before, see, it doesn't, like, energy cannot just go, the universe just doesn't go like that. It goes like this, right? Mm-hmm. So what we've got now is we've got Tropic of Cancer, Tropic of Capricorn. So, but whatever is going, so we know to, let's start the point, say, over here. So I'll just focus on this section here for now, one sine wave. Let's just do that. So if we put Aries over here always at the start and Pisces over here at the end, well, then this must be, going back here, this must be Pisces over here. So what we've got is Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, and here we have the scales of judgment on the 23rd of September. The Jews know that date, don't they? All the Jews know the 23rd of December. Tishri, Yom Kippur, Judgment Day, Atonement at One Mint Day, because the scales of Libra are there balancing. And then they celebrate, the Feast of Tabernacles or whatever, or tents, all those Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah themes. It's all here. At the extremity of the Taurus field where judgment happens, the scales of Libra, the sun setting, Libra, justice. Scorpio, Sag, St. Thomas Day, Tom, all these are Tom. Here, Cancer is Tammuz in the Jewish system. Tammuz. Who's Tammuz? The Tammuz is the Babylonian god of the cross. It's the Jewish god of cancer, the sign of cancer. Tom. Yeah. You know the drummers, they like to play their tom-toms. All these are Tom. So if we're going that away, we've got to know how to go the other way now. So we've got to know that Pisces will be here. Well, again, it just goes, so backwards, we've got Aquarius here and we've got Capricorn here. So what is going that way is also instantaneously coming back in the other direction.
Mm.
And that is how energy is working. Hence, your Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, or adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine DNA helix, double helix, Helios, the healer, our savior, the one who helps us, help, and gives us health. And
makes so much sense.
We greet when we
say hello, yeah.
Say hello, hail. This is all the same stuff. It's all this helix. It's the,
so where how does hell fit into that?
Well, this hell is invernal, winter, infernal, hell, invernal, infernal. It's hell is when the sun gets crucified here, and then on the 25th of December, 3 days later, 25th of December, Helios gets born again, Sol Invictus, to climb all the way to Jerusalem, and then he has to fall again. And the Jews fast in this month, and the Islamists have Ramadan here, and they mourn for a month. They mourn in Cancer every year at Tammuz. They cry for Tammuz, the Jewish women in the temple of old, they used to cry to Tammuz. They used to weep and fast and bury themselves in ash and sackcloth because the sun's now waning, waxing, waning, waxing. And this is Helios. This is the work of Helios in 12. The one who does not understand the 12-ness, and it's sticking out everywhere. I mean, I could give you a million reasons why this is Adam. The letter L. The letter L, Lam. Lam, Ed, is nothing but Ahmed, Adam. And the 12th letter, which is always in every alphabet, the letter L, electricity, Elohim, is always sitting there in 12th position. M in 13th, in the middle, M in the middle. So Adam, the letter L, 12, King Arthur and his 12 knights, Hercules and his 12 labors, Krishna and his 12, it's everyone, it's all this. It's all the science of Helios. That's all there is. There's nothing else going on. I better get better on this side. I think you can, it's better for me to get out.
Santos, how does the other calendars, you know, because that is this based on Gregorian calendars?
No.
At all? Yeah. I mean, well, how does that fit in?
Yeah, it fits in. It fits in perfectly. People say, oh, the sun color, we've got to get away from that masculine heliocentric or whatever stuff that they mutter in their madness. Everything's perfect. The tropical system of astrology is perfect. The Gregorian calendar is perfect. It's all good. There's nothing at all because it's all based on the tropical points. They never move. The equinox is always on March the 21st, always will be, always has been. Is, will be, never will move from that spot. So the year is always tempered by the four seasons. Here is spring, here is summer, here is autumn, all is autumn, starting here, where Saturn exalts in Libra, Aten, all is Aten, and then it comes up through the winter here. And that's every Taurus field. And it will never, it processes.
Mm-hmm.
So every 25,000 years, our Taurus field does a reciprocating processional turn, and we can see that. We can physically see now we're in the age of Aquarius. Prior to that, we were in the age of Pisces because the vernal equinox is shifting in the sidereal tropic zodiac in relation to the tropical zodiac. There are two zodiacs. See, most people think that astrology is, well, this is what astrology is, the science of energy, okay? Now, they will say, oh, yes, but it disqualifies itself due to precession because Aries is no longer where Aries is supposed to be. Yes, it is. Tropically, it is. Because Aries will always, always start here at the equinox on the 21st of March and will always end on the 21st of April forever and a day. And never will it change in any universe, anywhere. Because Taurus fields got energy only knows how to do this. Let's go back to more of a start. Now, I'm going to go back even further for you, sister. And I've learned not to spray this board because it gets too wet.
Yeah, and then it doesn't write at all.
Yeah, it's tricky, I'll tell you. And this is not a good board. This is an old one. As you can see, it's not rubbing off well. But I acquired it through some kind people when I expressed to them that I should fire up and do some more presentations because with the stuff I've been studying of Ken Wheeler's for the last 2 years, I'm so happy that I'm satisfied that he's the greatest magnetician who's ever lived and will explain the three field modalities of dielectricity, the field, magnetism and electricity. And so basically he explains how the field works. He doesn't describe it. Descriptions are for children, okay? He explains magnetism for the first time in history, how it works, how the field works. If we want to know how source works, we've got it now. We don't have to, get lost in quantum buffoonery. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like electricity's always been that huge question mark. Like how does it work?
Yeah, and they're looking for muons and buffoonons and quantums and all the quantums. We want quantity. We want bank accounts with money and electricity we can charge for. We love that Federal Reserve, fractional reserve debt slave money that we're getting from our energy grid. Buy our electricity. We can do you a better deal. We've got free energy. Okay. It's coming from the sun, magnetism. Pierluigi Aguinà said, everything is free. It's all coming from the sun. The sun is our Christ and Krishna. And so, actually, it's not. It's the sun. Yes, it is Christ, but it's more the archetype of Radharani, the magnetic queen of heaven. The sun is more feminine than it is masculine. Okay. And it's made of fire, air, and water, no earth. The fourth element, carbon, is not found in the sun. He is of plasma, gas, and liquid. It's hydrogen, water. So let's go real simple. So here we are. Here is atom. Actually, I should have started like this because you'll see why in a minute. If I had started like this, you would have got a totally different picture. I'll just get a drink. Hang on.
I just love your passion.
Yeah, well, when you know and you don't believe, then you have true, genuine passion. Okay, so the believers who kill other people for not believing what their opinions believe, not know, that's a different kind of zeal. That's a murderous zeal. It's a zeal of propagating and
it's like they're where the ivory.
Proselyting and evangelizing, in an active way, which is the wrong way. It's a passive. So here is atom.
Okay. So atom's red.
So the A privative, privative, makes this a one, one. Okay? So Adam had a wife called Eve. Even. Adam.
Oh, my gosh. Venus.
In Hebrew is Ma. That's how you say Adam in Hebrew. Adam is, Mars. Excuse me. How you say Mars in Hebrew is Ma Adin.
Huh.
Eve, even numbers, all odd numbers. At Adam, a masculine, all Eve, even numbers, a feminine. Masculine numbers unify. One, three, five, seven, nine. These you can't divide.
Mm-hmm.
Feminine numbers, divide. Four, six, eight, all splittable right down the middle. So Eve, our mother, she is the doubler. She's the increaser. Therefore, we all come from Eve. We are all atomites, anatomy, and study etymology, words, the logos and the word, cymatics, was made flesh, mm-hmm. matter, and God gave his only begotten son in, and so that he would come into the world. That's electricity. Mm-hmm. So you see the evil doubling is good, but that's dividing. See, so Eve, Venus, is in one breath we venerate, and she's venerable, but in other breaths, our Holy Mother who art in heaven, Eve, is a whore because she is venereal. It's a venereal disease. That comes from Venus. Venus is lustful and licentious.
Oh.
And so Venus is our venerable mother because she's doubling.
Mm.
It's the number two, okay? It's an on-off universe. It's a pulse.
Makes so much sense.
Universe, longitudinal, dielectric, instantaneous, action at a distance, no speed of light. That's the true universe. It's a pulse universe, not a particle universe at all whatsoever. If you want to go chasing particles at CERN, go ahead. Go ahead and waste your time. But if you want to know God, meditate and you'll hear him. Dum, 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 dum. All these are dum. So what we've got in the little Garden of Eden, and the Jews have a really good little system for teaching about the spirit and the soul and the body, the Holy Trinity. They say that is the spirit, and Ra, the radius, radius, Ra, deal, God, radius, and Marconi's radio, Ra, God, radius, that's, you'll see why. And then the Circ L, Lamed, number 12. Here is, they say this is the spirit, this is the soul, Ra, radius, radiating out into the body. And they say this is the body. This is how you can explain. If you meditate on this, you will understand Father, Mother, Son, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Krishna, Radha, Balaram, Osiris, Horus, Isis, Israel.
It's just the same thing over and over again.
Is Ra, Circ, L. Circe, the circle, the goddess, the moon, Circe, is the Circ, L. Is Ra, L. And so what you've got here is Adam in the garden with Adam and Eve.
Mm.
And the serpent tempted them to eat of the apple of Apollo, the golden pine cone, the golden eggs, which are of the, they're actually shaped like this, like a pine cone, like an egg. And the bottom part is actually much bigger. And this is phi, so 1.618, and this will be one, okay? And here is where compression is, and here is where rarefaction is on a magnet, and this will be a magnetic field, will always be like this. Thank you, Ken Wheeler. And so compression is blue shift, and rarefaction, is red shift. Satan, the devil, red, Krishna, blue. Good. So through electromagnetic manipulation, we can grow better food, we can ionize negatively our water that we drink, we can do everything through magnetism. This is why now in the medical world, the MRI, magnetic, what's an MRI stand for?
I think it's magnetic radio.
Imaging.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
It's magnetic, okay? And what and how they work is they understand now with this technology, they understand how magnetism now, rather than X-rays and all of that rubbish, is going to be beneficial for healing and for looking into the body spiritually. So they use these MRI machines, and it's and they are using manipulating the frequency, which is the Lamor frequency, which is the gyro magnetic precession. Gyro magnetic precession. Precession is inbuilt. So these machines work in such a way. So we have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And this is Aleph and this is Beth. Aleph in Hebrew. Aleph, which corresponds to numerologically 26. 26 is iron in the periodic table. Mm-hmm. And iron is Mars, the ruler of Aries, and Ma'adim is Adam, okay? And this is also, 26 is the number of Yod-Heh-Vah-Jehovah, 26. So Aleph, what does it mean? It means ox. Krishna, the good cowherd with his gopis. What are the cows? Taurus fields. Krishna is always with his cows, and Jesus is always the good shepherd with his sheep on his shoulder. Because the lamb, the Taurus field, Aries, symbol of Aries. Do you think astrology knows something?
Yeah.
Symbol of Taurus. Do you think astrology knows something? Symbol of Gemini. The two pillars, Jachim and Boaz of the Taurus field. One pillar, two pillars. And Jehovah led the Israelites with his two pillars through the desert, through the Red Sea and through the wilderness as they entered into the promised land. The two pillars, Boaz and Jachin. It's black and white, hence the Freemasonic floors, black and white.
Record floors.
Magnetism, black and white. Dielectricity, black. Magnetism, white. Always remember, the first trinity is black and white, the first trinity, and that's Krishna, Radha and Balaram. The second Trinity is a mundane, electrical, temporal conditioned force, electricity. Do we want to remain in the electrical world, or do we want to go home to the pulse of the longitudinal standing scalar wave? This is where paradise is. It's not here. This is where noise and chaos is, order and chaos. So Aleph means ox, and that's where we get alphabet. The L, is that an F?
Yeah. Alphabet is A-L-P-H.
Yeah, P-H. Well, I don't have a P-H.
That's enough, right?
P-H-D. So I would have put F there. But anyway, because there is another Aleph too. There's a, I think that's the Egyptian one. But anyway, Aleph, Alpha. Oh, wait a minute. I'm drawing alphabet here. Beth, alphabet. Okay. Bet means both. In Bet stands for both, okay? So Aleph, the ox or bull, Bel, bull, he now is like the two eggs that we start with in the womb. We start with the sperm egg and the ovary egg, and so they come together, they make one. Then they divide. And is it called mitosis, where then they go to four?
And then they
eight. I think it's called that. Anyway, so this is what's going on. This is the Godhead. These are the two co-eternal conjugate principles of the universe. Dielectricity, magnetism, both. This is the power of one. This is the power of two. Bisexual, bicentenary. Biscuit, twice cooked. And so that's the Latin word root of two. In Greek, it's di, okay? Dichotomy.
Mm-hmm.
I say this is the number two, this is the number four. You see feminine words. Divine, divide. So if you're a diviner.
Interesting.
If you're a diviner, you see, some of these churchgoers, he's an astrologer. He's a diviner. So he's talking about the divine, and that's not cool with you? No, he's a sorcerer.
So that's obviously a depiction too of the Alpha and the Omega, right?
The Omega is the sun setting here at Libra when the sun goes around the torus field at the equator. That, oh, what was your question, sorry?
Well, that's also showing the Alpha and the Omega, right?
Yeah, the that's the Omega, right? So if you've seen the Greek letter, it goes like this.
Right.
Okay,
right.
All right, and Libra, where the sun sets every day in Libra, not symbolically, people will say, oh, but hang on, the sun's in Capricorn. How can it? Symbolically, in the Taurus field, in how to model energy, okay? So Omega, that's Omega. Mega means big because the Greeks had Omicron. Micro means little. Omega, Omicron. Omicron is usually found in the middle of words. Omega is found at the end of words. Of course, Alpha, Omega. So Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the alphabet, because he's the Lord of all his atum, etymology, so letters. The Kabbalists say that God made everything with letters, whereas Pythagoras said all is number. Well, that's because all is amun as well. Amen, amun. And amun is N-U-M-A, letters, all is atum, all is amun, because we have numbers, quality and quantity. What's the quality? The quality will be expressed in sound. Shh, mm, zzz, fff, prr, that's quality. How many? That's quantity. So if you've got five, you've got. And that's how the universe is made. On and off, Aleph and Beth, Adam and Eve, odd and even, black and white, and all of the polarities. So here there is no polarity. Here there is transcendental duality. In the red and the blue, this is mundane duality. This is the bad kind. This is where you believe in the red police siren and the blue police siren and the red pill and the blue pill, and you live accordingly. So what we have here is basically the Al is the Allah, the all. Okay, and so the one is the all and the two is the both. And so it can't be any other way. These are co-eternal principles. And this is the field. So light travels through that field of the ether as my voice is traveling through the air to get to the computer's microphone. So the voice, the letters, the medium it uses is the air. But the light, yes, it's going through the air, but we assume, but the light is a perturbation of the ether. It is perturbing the ether and traveling through the ether. And so how to explain this will be by, if you want to understand field dynamics and field mechanics, you can have a look at fluid dynamics. You just go to your sink, fill it up with water, pull the plug out, and what's happening? You'll see a what? What will you see?
You'll see it going in at either clockwise or counterclockwise, depending on what side of the equator you are on, right?
Yeah, it's being drawn by its density in like a vortex. And so it is showing you how magnetism equally works, because like a magnet has a torus field around it. This is what scientists don't understand. And so that hourglass converging energy coming back into the dielectric inertial plane, that is just the same as this, what we have just seen. So it's energy diverging and converging, and these are conjugate principles, eternal principles. And so, and basically that's all that there is. That's all there is. This is God force and God source.
I was amazed when I heard you say that the Christ is actually the dark, right? So that's like the pure potentiality, the dielectric, is it not?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. Whereas the Krishna, I believe is what you said, was the white. Did I get that right?
Yes, exactly. So you've got Krishna is the energetic light, the source of light. Radha, radiation, radio. And by the way, Radha in Sanskrit means soul.
Mm.
Soul.
Which means sun.
Soul, S-O-U-L, and soul invictus. It's the sun. Here's the moon. Here's the sun. Now, this is what light is. Radha is illumination.
Mm. Wow, that's a key element right there.
That's what light does. She radiates. This is the source of light, the black holes.
Not really.
Nothing escapes black holes? Well, what am I doing here? So this is illumination of lux, and then electricity, Balaram. Bel, Aram, Ra, is Ra, El, is mundane illumination, lumen. This is lux, divine light. This is mundane light, electricity. That's all that's going on. There's only three field modalities, and there's only one field. And how that field works is if you get a pond of water and you throw a... What happens if you throw a stone in a pond of quiet, tranquil water?
Well, you create rings.
Radial
ripples.
Waves.
Right.
No, well, there is a speed, but it's a rate of induction. That's how light works, 186,000 miles through air,
mm-hmm.
That speed. But it's way slower through concrete and way faster on the longitudinal plane. You're going vertical. All this vertical divergent energy, it's a waste. It's a waste of energy, basically. We've got to go horizontal.
Interesting.
So is that a particle or a pulse?
That's a pulse, right?
Yeah, but someone says, yeah, but I threw a stone in there. That's particles.
Yeah, because it's a pulse because it's carrying it. Boom, boom.
Well, if you saw the true nature of the energy of that stone, it's very slow condensed matter. It's like a dielectric condensation. You'll find that it's all little torus fields and they're all pulses and waves. So, yeah, okay, make it a material science and call it a wave particle universe, but you'll still never be able to explain it because you can't, never have, never will. Whereas we, transcendentalists, spiritualists, who know that religion is science and science is religion, we can explain all things because we've got the holy books. I'm not teaching anything new here. This is what Porphyry and Iamblichus, my two favourite Neoplatonic philosophers, taught. And they were the best of the Neoplatonists. They exceeded the work of Plotinus and Proclus and Ammonius Saccas and all the other well-known Neoplatonists because they included astrology in their philosophy. They included theurgy. They included how to get into the gods through Hinosis, Isis. And so Iamblichus, even Julian the Apostate or Julian the Emperor, the greatest emperor that ever way exceeded Marcus Aurelius and all the others, Julian the Emperor, the Neoplatonist, who's his uncle, Constantine, who founded the corporate church of St. Peter, Petra, stones, he, 60 years later in 363, re-established the true Heliognostic religion of syncretism. And he called Iamblichus the greatest. He said, Iamblichus is Plato and Pythagoras put together. Iamblichus. And what did he teach you? Well, Iamblichus taught us the order of the hierarchy of the angels. He taught us about the thrones and the dominions and the principalities that are above our heads, and the angels and archangels. You know, this was our school. We lost that school in 537 when Justinian, the creator of the glossa language, the legal language of maritime, he shut down the Neoplatonic schools. And so we've been doing buffoonery Aristotle materialism and Newtonian materialism for hundreds of years, and we are hence, you know, so far removed from the true science.
That's amazing. So here we have. Can I ask you a question? Quick question.
Yeah.
When you're talking about mundane light, okay, so you've got the source, which is Krishna, you've got Radha, which is illumination, and then you have, what is it? The Belrana, right? And that's mundane light. So are you when you say mundane light, are you saying that it's actually possibly absorbing the light from the illumination?
Well, no, it's divergent transverse energy. It's divergent transverse energy, red and blue frequency. Okay.
I was thinking in terms of looking at the way in which people hold their light or receive light or send light.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Look, the body is material, hence it needs electricity. So you go out in the sun, you do solar grounding, you eat good food, leafy greens, good cold pressed juices. So you're getting minerals and chlorophyll and all the good things that you need. That's electrical. But the spiritual pulse, the spiritual energy of the universe, the causal behind what we see with these eyes, that's magnetic. It's longitudinal. It's pulsing all the time throughout the universe. It's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. It's what Paracelsus. Yeah, this is Paracelsus. The revelation of Hermes. And what's the secret, the supreme? Oh, hang on, I've got the wrong camera. I'm looking. Okay, so the book of the revelation of Hermes, interpreted by Paracelsus, the supreme secret of the world. And what is it? The quintessence, dielectricity. You see, they talk about electricity because they can charge you for it. Dielectricity, what's that? Is that the particle? But we don't know. Oh, no, there's no such thing as free energy, you know. And I'm qualified. I've got my fat head disease. See the papers on the wall? No, I went to school. I did 20 years of school. No, there's no free energy. No, we deny that, God. We are the demon bloodlines that run the planet through the shadow government and through corporation and fascism and feudalism and communism and Marxism, leftist and, religion of no borders, nations with no borders, and mixing and polluting and corrupting and homogenizing so we can control you better. But we're demons. See, people don't realize that Clinton, what are they? Well, look at, they're demons, demon bloodlines.
Yes, they are.
And, you know, and what they do is they use our beautiful science. Look at this, Hillary. Okay, Hillary. Well, that's Hilaria, the goddess of April 15, Aries, Hilaria, where the Romans celebrated hilarity and happiness. Rodham.
Oh, my.
Radha. Yeah, Radharani. Clinton.
Jeez.
Clinton. Well, that's basically L. It's got an L in there, but that's Atom. Hilaria, the Roman goddess. Radharani, the queen of heaven's magnetism. Clinton. I mean, these bloodlines, you just... Look, study the black nobility, okay? They basically, Roman aristocratic, I would say oligarchic, so they would be Aristotelian oligarchs as opposed to Plato's aristocracy, ruled by the best, or good people in positions of power that we meritoriously give them that position. Mm-hmm. So these oligarchies, if you go back to the 1200s when the Crusades started, and the Guelph families and all of these the Doge of Venice and all of this, the Council of Venice of the 24 families that run the world. They have monopolized all the ports of the world, China, India, Hong Kong, Singapore, all of them, all maritime commerce, all Phoenician law, phony. And they control your courts, your maritime courts, and everything through phonetics, words, the logos, through their spells, L, spell binding. Okay, and so that's why they have the Bible in the courtroom with the gospel, electricity. They worship Saturn, Kronos, the crown. Hence, you are doing business with crown copyrighted property, the legal name, Kronos. You sell your soul when you get a birth certificate with your soul footprint. And who to? Well, to demons. Demons and pseudoscience are running this world. The Jesuits started in... they are black nobility bloodlines. The two families that created the Jesuits were the Farnese and the Borgia, black nobility bloodlines, black because of their black deeds, not their colour. They founded the Jesuits in 1541 or 39. Some say 39, some say 41. So you've got 1541, Copernicus, who was funded by the Jesuits with his globe, and where globalism, this religion of the New World Order, black nobility families who want, you know, global warming religion, globalism, global economy, one world global religion. There's no globe. The earth is not a globe. Mm-hmm. The earth is not spherical. It is round, but it's a disc. It's an accretion disc, like I showed you, inside of a massive torus field like this, and the earth is like this. Then there are seven subterranean planets, discs, of hellish planets, Sheol under us, Sheol, according to the Hebrews. And then we've got Moon, Mercury, Venus, Sun, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. Here is Uranus's firmament. Then there is Neptune's waters above the crystalline sea. And then there is the Prima Mobile, and that precesses, and that is the true cosmos in which we live. So we live on a flat disk. Horizontal level plane.
So, what are the planets below? You said that they're hellacious planets. What are those?
Well, in Srimad Bhagavatam, they're actually called heavenly planets because they are very luxurious but much more suffering than we have. They are controlling us in the green chakra, earth. Purple is out here. Mm-hmm. This is the green chakra. And they come from, this planet is called Atala, the first one. Atala, Atlantis, that sank below the waters. Yeah, because this, yeah. They're all called Atala. This is Atala, then there's, I mean, I know that the bottom one's called Putala, but they're all Atala, Atlantis. Now, the point is, We did have speculation. That's if our history is correct, because the Jews, the Jesuits, same word, the Khazarian Hyksos, false Jews, the Church of Satan I'm talking about, not Jewish people, which there is no such thing anyway. No Jewish, like there's no Christian people. Italians, they're all mixed. Mm-hmm. So what they did was, what was the point? I got off the point. I think I was talking about... anyway, the Jesuits funded Copernicus, okay? There was speculation that we were living on a globe, but I believe that they put that in, all of this Aristarchus and Aristophanes, you know, going to Siena and Alexandria, measuring the curvature of the earth and all. I think this has been redacted. I think this is the Jesuits. They've redacted history because if you look at all the mythologies and even the Aboriginals, they all knew we lived on a flat disc earth with a dome firmament over our heads. The Hopis, they've got flat earth everywhere. The Mayans, the Chinese, it's all flat. Everywhere you go, it's flat, period. It's horizontal, there's no globe. So the Jesuits came along in 41. 43, Copernicus, mm-hmm. Lovely. Mm-hmm. Then it took another, till Galileo was another 80 years, they funded him. I'll give you the names of all the people from the black nobility that funded him. Pomponazzi, Conti, all of these people. You'll know how this conspiracy happened, okay? Just put us on a globe so that we could worship a false idol and be globalist globetards on a sand, spinning faster than the speed of sound, rotating, faster than the speed of sound, upside down and all sorts of wobbles on a centerball. So
I also, let me just interject, Santos. I also think that they did it to pull us away from feeling any sense of being the center of our toroidal field. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, that's right. They've taken us off center. So now we don't know where we are and who we are. We are at the
center. Think about our, even from an esteem perspective.
Yep.
There was so much behind what they did. You know, making the sun the center versus instead of making the earth center.
Yeah. Well, it's both. It's the sun and it's heliocentric and it's geocentric because in astrology, the earth is always connected to the sun because the year. Look at that word carefully. Oh boy, there's a lot. Yaram, this is a proto-Germanic word and it's Yaram, Jehovah the Ram, okay? The year, short for Jaram. The year is always 365 and a quarter days, what have you. So that is the relationship between the sun and the earth, okay? So they are very similar. They're always this figure, the year. And so it's pointless arguing about heliocentric. And I see these videos where people say, you know, the heliocentrists, they're demon worshippers, they worship the sun. Look, you do more harm to the truth by saying rubbish like that. The demons who are controlling this plane, the Clintons, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and the Guelphs, and the Saxicoba Gothers, and the Hanovers, and all of these dark vampire families who are demons from here, they're not humans, they're demons. Clinton is a demon, okay? They don't want us to you know this beautiful science. They don't want us to. They are the ones that have perverted everything. This is the history of the globe. You know, Newton's gravity here. We've got Galileo here, and we've got Copernicus here. These people were funded by. Oh, you're going to love this. Truthers are going to love this. But all the globe tards, they're changing their nappies right about now. They're going, oh, I'm a Santa Bowler, and I believe in the cult of Santa Bowl and general relativity and quantum buffoonery. I'm going to smash their world. All the globetards there, they've fallen off the bottom now. They laugh at the flat earths. Oh, won't you fall off the side? Well, look at you dunce. You're upside down and spinning. Spinning at 1,038 miles an hour, faster than the speed of sound, faster than bullets, faster than jets, orbiting 55, what, how many thousands of miles an hour orbiting around the sun? And then the sun and all this solar system is hurtling at millions of gazillions of miles. And then the galaxy, there's four motions. I mean, when I go out in a quiet day, the trees are pretty calm to me. They don't sort of notice that faster than the speed of sound, upside down, spinning. See, when you go back from the Jesuits all the way back, everyone knew it was flat. Everyone knew it, because it is. Here's one for the globetards in Australia. I live on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, in the hinterland, near a town called Mullaney. Mullaney. Punch that into your Here's the coast of Australia. Here's Mullaney. Queensland border is here. This is the Sunshine Coast up here, just north of Brisbane, an hour. I live an hour north of Brisbane. And here is the Gold Coast. Both of these coasts, an hour north of Brisbane, an hour south. All of this is skyscrapers. Skyscrapers.
Wow.
Okay. I go to a hill, not very high, probably a couple of hundred meters. So granted, I'm on a hill, but I can see all the skyscrapers along this coast of Brisbane. All the bottom of the skyscrapers ramping up to my horizon eye level, no slope, no Humpty Dumpty slope. It's more than 200 kilometers just like they, we saw a photo of someone photoed from Barcelona. You can see a photo of Mallorca, 206 kilometres away, ramping up with all the flat level sea level, all the way up to the island, and it's straight like that, straight. You can see it. If the island was curved, you'd see curvature like this. You'd see, you know, on the horizon, you'd see islands curving, but you don't. You see islands, they just go donk like this. It's an island. That was what Mallorca looked like. And it had mountains like this, and you could see this was dead, flat. 200. I can see from the Sunshine Coast all of the Gold Coast surface paradise, famous skyscrapers, about 90. I can see them all flat, flat horizon, ramping up to my eye level. Even if you go up 30,000 feet in an aeroplane, you will still see the horizon coming up all around you, right at your eye level. You never have to go down like this to look at the ball's curve because it's a disc. It's an accretion disc.
That was, you know, because I interviewed Mark Sargent, and that was probably my biggest aha, was getting in the plane just to see for myself, to pay attention to that, you know, to see how flat it looked.
Okay, I've got some, I'm going to bust some names of the Black Nobility Venetian families, the demon bloodlines.
Everybody hang on to your horses.
The sponsors, the Jesuit sponsors of Copernicus, Pietro Pomponazzi, Cardinal Gasparo Contarini, and Francesco Giorgi. These three in the 1500s, they gave us the Humpty Dumpty globe. And they were, Contarini, the cardinal, he started the Protestant Reformation, the Jesuits, with Ignatius Loyola. He was the protector of Ignatius Loyola, the Council of Trent, and the Counter-Reformation. Do you have any idea how many people were murdered in those times? After the syncretic Renaissance that we had?
Probably way more than we know. More than what was recorded in our fake history.
That is the watershed mark there, guys. Before that was the Renaissance. Before that, Marsilio Ficino, Pico della Mirandola, Giordano Bruno. Well, Giordano Bruno's down here somewhere here. He was killed.
What was the trigger of before 1541?
The globe. As soon as the globe, they started teaching the Copernican globe, that the Venetians are clever. They know to create a container.
Yes.
You see, beyond Antarctica, there are more lands of good people.
I've seen that map. That's fascinating. But wait, what I'm asking you is, what was the trigger that they felt they needed to do that by 1541 to bring in globalism, the globe itself?
Well, to contain us, to put us in a prison.
Something must have happened for them to get, you know, because look at the kind of plan they put into place.
Well, when Giovanni Cabot and Vespucci and all of these guys were coming back, and people were realizing that it's a flat plane because you can't, you know, you can't sail on a ball upside down. They knew
that's
this.
What it was about. Okay.
And so the powers had to create a false world. They changed times and seasons. The scriptures tell us about this. And the demons do this. They invert the truth. They give you another system. They're always giving you a... If the natural system is here, medicine, you know, herb, right? What do they give you? Big pharma. It piggybacks on the natural system. So you've got the lawful name, they give you the legal name. So you've got an original national trust, they give you a Sestui KV trust to do commerce in the land of the dead.
Even with the pharmaceuticals, they take a natural substance and they just make it a couple of molecules off so they can...
Co-op first, corrupt second.
Yeah.
Chaos. Order. A chaos out of order, not order out of chaos.
Fascinating. So, hey, where can we get a copy of the map there that you're showing?
Which map?
The one up in the upper left-hand corner where you're showing... ones below and the ones above, you know, below the flat plane and above the horizontal plane.
Well, I've got one up on my wall from the Haris Krishnas, and it shows you the true cosmos of Brahma, one universe. Okay. It's only one of many universes.
True cosmos of Brahma. Maybe if we Googled that, we would find it.
Hang on, I'll see what it's called. Hang on.
Okay. I think it'd be worth it for people to be able to check that out.
No. I don't think there's a name, but the Hare Krishnas have it. Look, I've got a PDF of it. I can send it to anyone. Just all I have to do is ask me for the Bhagavad Gita or the Vedic cosmology of the universe poster. Nice. Well, it's a PDF. I'll send them that.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so 1600s. These are the sponsors of Galileo Galilei, the Jesuits. And there was an English cardinal that was mixed in that, Montague or something like that. Geez, I wish I had written his name down.
No surprise there.
Anyway, yeah, so in the 1600s, we have Paolo Sarpi. He was a part of the Servite monks. And Fulgencio Micanzio, they were the case officers for Galileo Galilei. And they sponsored him, Jesuits. Now, in the 1700s, we've got Abbot Antonio Conti, Juan Maria Ortez, and they were the people who created, then, with their gravity theory, they sponsored Newton in the 1700s. Because till then, no one was buying into the ball. That was that was bullshit.
Right.
Bullshit. That's what I call it. Bullshit, bad shit.
And we're still working off the Newtonian science garbage now. Right.
Well, until Ken Wheeler and now what I'm doing,
right.
I hope.
Right.
I hope with people like Ken Wheeler on the planet now, we're not going to be so retarded as to go quantum wackery. Oh,
I love that. Or particle chasers, as you say.
Particle chasers. And these guys, Conti and Ortez, they were enemies of Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz, who was Newton's most hated enemy, because he actually was the one who invented what's Newton's great invention?
Well, there's many.
Oh, anyway, no, the count, the freaking. Never mind. They were enemies of the true scientists. They've always been true scientists. They have been persecuted. So people like me, who teach how to model energy and how to love energy, God the creator, get persecuted as witches and sorcerers and diviners and naughty people who say naughty things. Well, it's actually the corporate churches that are doing that. They are polluting true science, transcendental science, which is in our scriptures. The scriptures are only dealing in transcendental science. There's nothing literal, historical, factual in those books. Nothing. Even when it talks about factual things that have happened, like floods, like Noah's floods, even then it's not speaking factually or literally. And that should suffice for intelligent people.
Sure.
Others will resist it all the way to the grave, and they'll say, I'm stupid and a heretic. That's fine. But one day, after many lifetimes, you'll realize what I'm realizing, and that it's all transcendental. And if you don't get it, you'll never partake of the transcendental counterspatial world of rest, God's rest, which is paradise, which is the black light, not the white light. Come to the white light. Well, the white light is magnetism, motion. Why do we want dualistic motion? It's called the Brahmajyoti, the Brahmananda. That's what the white light is. And so there, it's not the best place to be going. You know, you want to go to the... I would be going to the black and white light, or to the black light. The black light is source, but it's not black. It's just that it's the forms there are the same as here, but the forms are transcendental. So they don't have gross matter attached to them, but there is form, there is activity. And we will experience one day inconceivable oneness with difference, with the creator.
Oh, I look so forward to it. And it is like kind of like a black sea, isn't it? That's what they describe it as. Like,
well, it's
like that.
It's the Kether, or the, we live in Malkuth, but it's the Kether, or the ether, the field, which generates this vibrational noise, which we call the real world. So we're sort of, we're convinced, it's like, okay, so if I grab, if I grab my guitar and I, oh, yuck, that sounds terrible. There's a buzz in this guitar. I'm so saddened. That's better. So that string was still. That's the horizontal. That was the horizontal longitudinal stillness. Now I'm going to, look at that. See that bend I'm putting? I'm going to put a wave in there. And that's making noise, right? So noise, what's the difference between noise and sound and music? Well, sound is something more pleasing than noise. Noise can be chaotic. Sound is more less chaotic, but music is... Oh, gee. It's out of tune, it's buzzing. So now... So now we've got a harmony.
By the way, everybody, you can check out Santos's CDs. Do you have more than the three that are listed? Angelica, Amazing Days, and Moliendo Cafe. Do you have more than those three?
Yeah, I do, but they're not current, so they're not available. So here we have sound, but it's transverse. It's a noise, really, because it's all by itself. It's sound. It's also music. But then now we have a fifth, which is a harmony. And then we have, that's an octave, a third. Now you've got three different noises or sounds on different frequencies, right? So one, they're all higher. Now you have a chord.
Okay.
So the point is, what was the point I was making? So the point is, it comes from where, right? Well, it comes from the longitudinal silence, black. When I struck that string and put a wave into it, right, what happened now is you're going up to red and blue, Tropic of Cancer, Tropic of Capricorn, the double helix. Now what you're doing is you're creating a transverse wave, transverse. And so that is electromagnetic. It has red and blue electrical bits and white centering bits to it. That's about the best. Sounds a bit like an elk. Was thin at one end, thick in the middle, and very thin at the other end. So that's about as simple as you can put it. So the point is, the sound comes from nowhere. And then someone decides to play a song. Oh, that's beautiful. Very nice song. And that was harmonious. But then you can't play the song forever, can you? Okay, so eventually you have to stop that song. Otherwise people are going to throw tomatoes and eggs at you, and they're going to say, you're playing the same song all night long. Okay, so... the point is this, from the silence, the stillness, where the pulse is, always there. It's always there. You'll never remove it. There's, in every place, there is magnetism, spiritual magnetism. And so when you experience a pulse perturbation, you see, like, that's a perturbation. That's a pulse perturbation. So light, the illumination, Radharani, radiation, same thing, comes from... illumination comes from light. The principle generates the attribute. The principle generates the particulars. So the principle is light, dielectricity. And magnetism is also a principle, but it's also an attribute of the principle of dielectricity. Okay, so light, what is it? Well, Ken Wheeler tells us that it is a coaxial circuit. So I'll finish with this.
Okay.
So that we can conclusively say, I know what light is. I know how an energy extrapolates and how it unfurls and how to model it on a 12-ness. So you're going to know this, and you'll be able to do the sine wave for anyone, anywhere. You know how many of these I've done? There'll be people all around the world. When I was street performing, for instance, up until 2012 in Melbourne, people would come to visit me. We'd go and have a coffee, pull out a notepad, I'd do the sine wave, and you know how many of them have gone around the world? I've done this sine wave so many times for so many people, I forget how many I've done, and they're all over the place. and I've got volumes like this of my own notes.
Very cool.
So what we saw before was we saw the wave.
Right.
Here is the pulse. Compression, rarefaction. Well, actually, rarefaction happens at wave amplitude, according to Ken Wheeler. So rarefaction is here. Compression at Aries and Libra. Rarefaction, compression. So that's the pulse. And then you've got, it's going backwards as well. Don't forget. And so when you look at the coaxial circuit, if you cut your TV coax circuit, you'll have a conductor in the middle, and then you'll have your other wires around here, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Separate from each other. So basically, this is the coaxial circuit that light is. Light is not electromagnetic only. It is electromagnetic divergent transversal. It is dielectric, longitudinal, pulse, and rarefaction. Compression and rarefaction, pulse. So it's a field perturbation. The field is everywhere. And when you turn, if I light a match, the light of that match is instantaneous almost. We see it. And it's as fast as the sun's light. Now, the sun is way bigger in magnitude, has much more force than a 5-watt globe. And yet you see how the light travels at the same speed because it's a rate of induction through the medium of air. And so basically, if you can take away this one thing, that light is not just electromagnetic. That is subscribing to the materialist quantum physical world of nuons and muons and neutrinos and Walter Russell said that don't exist. They're just different rates of vibration of energy. You can explain to people it's not just electromagnetic. It is also a longitudinal compression and rarefaction pulse. No particle. And so I hope that I've done enough to explain this simply for people, because it is simple. The universe, as Ken Wheeler says, is simple. Ken Wheeler has a great expression. The universe is not a one-eyed crack whore with a calculator, and all of these quantum calculations of how an atom works. I mean, essentially, you've got to give these guys a pat on the back.
Yes.
They don't get the cigar, man. They haven't transcendentalized. They're still materialists. Unfortunately, that's the way Rome does things, the Jesuits and the black nobility. Keeps people in the quantum particle material world, and they buy into that illusion. So just to finish off, they tell you neutron, that an atom is, all is atom, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Neutron, are you got time? You good for time?
No, go ahead. We're over, but that's okay. It's no big deal.
All right, I'll finish real quick. Proton, ton, L.
Electron, yep.
Okay, well, now you know what that is, don't you? The neutron, Isis, dielectricity. Proton, Ra, radiation, Pra. This is positive, negative, yeah? Negative, positive, Pra.
And
L, the electron.
Oh, my God.
And this is dielectricity. Magnetism, they're always together, co-eternal conjugate principles. The black and white, yin and yang, they will always be together. They are co-eternal, Krishna and Radha, dielectricity, that's the field, and that's the field propagating transversely. Electrons, electricity. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Santos. Awesome. Thank you so much, because you simplify it to a point where we can really wrap our brains around it. I'd love to stay in touch with you, maybe pick some other topics we can do, whatever you want to do. I'd want to help you spread your information because I really resonate with it. And for anybody who is new to Santos's work, please check out his website. It's at universaltruthschool.com. That's universaltruthschool.com. And as he said, he's going to be starting some regular YouTube educational seminars and chats. And I think when we really get behind this, we can really understand ourselves and that which we create, that which we attract, that which we don't attract, I should say, and really learn a lot more about how we coexist within this reality and where do we really want to go from here. So Thank you, Santos, for all your hard work. I know you have busted your butt. And check him out because he is one of the most amazing, just a fearless rebel with a cause as far as standing up to the police and the government within Australia. Check out what he's done and what he's accomplished regarding that. Very few people that really have gone all the way like he has. So I commend you for that as well. Anyway, thank you very much, everyone. Have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon. Lots of love. And check us out at galacticconnection.com. Lots of love. Bye.